بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه وبعد. Apologies, Ikhwan, for the late beginning in today's session. We pick up from where we left in last week's session. We discussed the affair of the ridicule and the manner in which the mushrikun of Quraysh fought against the da'wah of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and then the mujadala and the various forms of argumentation that they presented and attempted to present to disprove the prophethood of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to no avail. And so the difficulties continued, the hardship and the persecution intensified, and so the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he addressed his companions Ridwanullahi Alayhim. And this occurred in the fifth year after the Bi'tha, that is after the Messenger was sent as a messenger, then this was what occurred during the fifth year, and that was in the month of Rajab. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he approached his companions and he said to them, in that which as occurs in that which is authentic, he said to them that indeed inna bi ardi habasha malikan la yadhlimu ahadun 'inda falhaqu bi biladi حتى يجعل الله لكم فرجا ومخرجا مما أنتم فيه. But he said that indeed in the land of Habasha, in the land of Abyssinia, there is a king. That is, there is a righteous king. And he mentioned, no one is up. And so therefore travel to his land. Until Allah Azza wa Jal makes ease or facilitates ease and makes a way out for you in that which you are experiencing. And so the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he commanded that his companions make the migration to Abyssinia. And this migration, ayyuha al-ikhwa, it was, in terms of the narrations that occur and that have been mentioned concerning it, it in actuality occurred on two separate occasions. We'll at least deal with the first of those occasions in this sitting. The initial migration to Habasha, to Abyssinia, was performed and was done by some 12 or so individuals. Some narrations mention 11 and 4 women, and they migrated irsalan or arsalan, that is, they migrated in small groups, and a few of them would leave, and then another few would leave, and that of course was so that it would not be known, or it would not be clear that there was some form of exodus taking place and that the believers were leaving, since the nature of the persecution of Quraysh was that they would prevent or that they would cause harm to them if they knew of the fact that they were trying to leave and to migrate to another land. From the first of those who migrated then was Uthman ibn Affan, and it is said as occurs in some riwayat that he was the first to leave alongside his wife, the daughter of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ruqayya. And from them we had Abu Hudhayfa ibn Utbah and his wife Sahla binti Suhail. Similarly, Abu Salama ibn Abdul Asad and his wife Salama. Amir ibn Rabi'a and his wife Layla binti Abi Hathama. Abdurrahman ibn Auf. Uthman ibn Mad'oom. Similarly, Mus'ab ibn Umair, Zubair ibn Awam. And Suhail ibn Bayda, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, ibn Sabra, Hatim ibn Amr, those were the names of the first batch who migrated to Abyssinia. Alongside them, we had the likes of Ja'far, radiallahu anhum ajma'een, and Ibn Ishaq. He mentioned some other names and other individuals that the first migration, or that were considered and named among the first who migrated to Abyssinia. The affair of the migration to Abyssinia, Ikhwan, you have to, and inevitably when we're looking at the seerah of the Messenger, the state of affairs and the reality of that which they were going through has to be considered, since they were the best and the most noble of the Arab. They were in the best place for any of the Arab to live, Mecca, yani the seat of yani the dawla, the seat of the Jazeera al-Arabiya, the seat of shi'r and poetry and the seat of everything that was Arabi. And so for them, it was an affair, Ikhwan, that on the basis of that which Allah Azza wa Jalla guided them to from deen, even though they were in and they were from the most noble of the Arab. In terms of nobility, no one was greater than them. No one superseded them. Even though they were and lived in the best place for any of the Arab to be, on the basis of the persecution that they went through, and on the basis of the hardship and the difficulty. And you imagine, Ikhwan, we're dealing with the people, Ikhwan, who would take their lives and wouldn't think twice about doing so, and would persecute and punish them with various forms of persecution. They went through difficulty, hardship. From them were those who could not pray publicly. Salah. They couldn't make salah in public, that they had to hide. From them were those who hid the fact that they were believers completely. And it's from them were those who hid the whole affair of them being believers. From them were those who were continually punished and persecuted from the time that they made the announcement. And if it is that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even though he was persecuted by his uncle Abu Talib, he still was attacked, he still was approached, he was still persecuted in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla. If that was the case of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, from the Abna of Abdul Muttalib and from his grandchildren, if that was the case with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, then it goes without doubt, Ikhwan, that anyone lesser than him would have been greater in persecution and difficulty. So you imagine, Ikhwan, if we were here in England, Allah, we were here in England, and it was not just the odd comment that we hear, or the odd ridicule, or the odd newspaper article, or the odd satirical magazine and drawing. Ikhwan, we're speaking of being taken, being tied up, being whipped, being imprisoned, being burnt with fire, tortured, scolded, scuffed, ridiculed, mocked. Anywhere you went, anywhere you go, as you leave your home, you're ridiculed and mocked. Having things hurled at you, literally, physically, thrown at you. Abuse hurled at you, verbally. Yani, being boycotted, ostracized. Just because of the fact that you say that your Lord is Allah. Ikhwan, a situation and a scenario that is not difficult, wallahi. The women persecuted, the men persecuted, the elders that we, from our brothers, are those who in our midst they're killed. And we perhaps witness some of that killing. Some of our brothers who we know well and we pray beside them and they believe alongside us, are taken and are tortured to the extent that they bleed profusely and die. And that is and was a scenario, Ikhwan, that was not easy. We hear, we read it, Ikhwan, and it goes over our heads and we don't really pay it and give it any real reflection. It was a situation that was not easy, Ikhwan. Even though that was the case, they remained steadfast and patient. For here, as we mentioned, the first 5 years, they remained patient upon this. And it was consistent, it didn't stop. And so the Prophet ﷺ, he said that indeed, because of what they were facing and the difficulties they were going through, perhaps the better thing would be now to leave. In order to protect yourself, to protect your deen, and to have something of an ease as it relates to the persecution that they were going through. And so the Prophet ﷺ, he said to them that indeed in the land of Habasha, in the land of Ethiopia, there is a king. No one is oppressed with him. And Allah Azza wa Jal perhaps will make a way out for you and a makhraj, he mentioned peace for you. And so the companions, Ridwanullahi alayhim, as we mentioned, ikhwan, they made the migration. This migration, it occurred more than once. And we'll discuss the second migration to Abyssinia next week's session. As far as the first migration, then as we mentioned, they left in small groups. And there are some narrations, Sheikh Al-Albani discusses in Sahih Sirah. The first of them, we'll mention the narration of Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he mentions, ba'athana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ila Najashi wa nahnu nahwun min thamanina rajula. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, sent us to Najashi, and we were somewhere in the region of 80 men. This statement, or the affair of them being some 80 men, scholars of hadith discuss the numbers of those who made the migration, the first migration and the second migration. What is established is that the second migration, there were 80 men. That is what is established. The second migration, that there was 80 men, while in the first there are narrations that indicate that they were of a lesser number, as we mentioned previously, that they were a handful of individuals. So some narrations mention that they were 80 men, and some of the scholars of hadith gather between that which occurs in those early or those other narrations and these narrations, and mention that they returned back to Abyssinia. And so altogether, yani, they were 80 in number. Again, some narrations mention that they were 90 in number. The migration, when it occurred, ikhwan, with the or at the hands of the head of them, or the leader of them, and the one who the Prophet ﷺ placed in charge of them, then the one that was in charge of them was Ja'far, the uncle of the Messenger ﷺ, and he was the one that it was said from the companions of the Messenger of Allah ﷺ was most resemblant to the Messenger of Allah. That is, that he most resembled the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam physically. He most resembled the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in looks and in character, and in mannerism, in usloob, even in the way that he would speak. That it was said that Ja'far most resembled the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And so it is understandable that he would be the one that would lead them. Ja'far then was placed in charge of them, and Muhajirun, when they made the migration, when they left in droves. There is a narration that mentions that Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, that we heard about the migration of the Messenger ﷺ while they were in Yemen. Abu Musa was originally from Yemen, and so they likewise took a boat from among the believers who were present there and met with those who had traveled. And the original plan as it relates to the migration was that they would leave in small numbers, small groups, and those small groups would ultimately meet and come together when they land in Abyssinia. So they would leave in small groups, and they take boats and what have you, and then once they reach Abyssinia, then they would meet up in Abyssinia, come together in Abyssinia. And so Abu Musa and a group from among us who were present in Yemen, they had heard of that, and so they too traveled and took a boat and met the believers. And we'll look at those narrations, we'll look at the narration and that which is to come, inshallah. The narration of Ibn Mas'ud then, he continues, وَفِيهِمْ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ بْنِ مَسْعُودِ وَجَعْفَرْ وَعَبْدُ اللَّهِ ابْنِ عَرْفَطَ وَعُثْمَانِ بْنِ مَضْعُونَ وَأَبُو مُوسَى وَأَتَوْا النَّجَاشِي. He said, so they came to النَّجَاشِي. And that is, naturally, once they had landed and once they had arrived in Abyssinia itself. He mentioned, وَبَعَثَتْ قُرَيْشْ عَمْرِ بْنِ الْعَاسِ وَعَمَّارِ بْنِ الْوَلِيدِ. He said, and so Quraysh sent in pursuit of them Amr ibn al-As and Ammara ibn al-Walid, and they sent them with gifts. Some of the ahadith and the riwayat mention that Quraysh gathered from themselves that which would be a befitting gift for King Najashi. So they gathered gifts and they sent two individuals as their representative, Amr ibn al-As and Ammar ibn al-Walid. Those two were sent after the Muhajirun, after the first set of those who migrated. They were sent after a period. And that is, they didn't initially know and they weren't initially aware of the fact that they had left. When they had heard that they had gone to Abyssinia, they sent those two in order to address Najashi about the believers who were now living in your land. And so that was the idea, and thus they brought hadaya. He said, فَلَمَّا دَخَلَ عَلَى النَّجَاشِ سَجَدَا لَهُ. When they entered upon the Najashi, they both made sajda to him. ثُمَّ ابْتَدَرَ عَنْ يَمِينِهِ وَعَنْ شِمَالِهِ ثُمَّ قَالَ لَهُ إِنَّ نَفَرًا مِنْ بَنِي عَمِّنَا نَزَلُوا أَرْضَكَ وَرَغَبُوا عَنَّا وَعَنْ مِلَّتِنَا. He said that when they approached him, one stood on his left, one stood on his right, and they said, addressing him, saying, that indeed there are a group of individuals from the offsprings of our uncles who have taken up residence in your land, and they have abandoned us and our deen. And so King Najashi, he said, فَأَيْنَهُمْ. He said, and where are they? And so they said, in your land. And so he sent for them. فَبَعَثَ إِلَيْهِمْ فَقَالَ جَعْفَرْ أَنَا خَطِيبُكُمُ الْيَوْمِ فَاتَّبِعُوا. He said that indeed I today am your khatib. Yani I am the one that will address them. And so you, yani just follow. Just follow. I am your khatib. I am the one that will leave the speech to me. That is the meaning of what he was saying to them. Leave speaking to me. I am the khatib today. Just follow. Again, another issue that arises here with the affair of Ja'far is some do discuss the fact that it was actually Uthman who was put in charge of them, and that Ja'far was just the khatib on that day. And so that is some from the masail, or from the issues that are discussed by Ahl al-Ilm. What is close to agreed upon is that Ja'far was the Amir of the Muhajirun. So he said then, I am your khatib today, I will speak, يعني, and just follow. فَسَلَّمْ وَلَمْ يَسْجُدْ. And so they gave salam and they didn't make sajda. فَقَالُوا لَهُ مَا لَكْ لَا تَسْجُدْ لِلْمَلِكِ. So they said to him, يعني, to them, why is it that you don't make sajda to the Malik? Why don't you make sajda to the king? فَقَالَ إِنَّا لَا نَسْجُدُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ. They said, indeed, we do not make sajda except to Allah, except for the sake of Allah. قَالَ وَمَا ذَاكَ. He said, and why is that? قَالَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ بَعَثَ إِلَيْنَا رَسُولًا ثُمَّ أَمَرَنَا أَنْ لَا نَسْجُدَ لِأَحَدٍ إِلَّا اللَّهِ أو إِلَّا لِلَّهِ وَأَمَرَنَا بِالصَّلَاةِ وَالزَّكَاةِ. He said that indeed Allah Azza wa Jalla has sent to us a messenger, and he has commanded us that we should not make sajda except to Allah Azza wa Jalla, and he has commanded us with salah and has commanded us with zakah. This narration that Sheikh Al-Albani initially mentions is a narration that when one looks at the riwayat and the various ahadith, has gathered some of the more lengthy versions of the hadith that mention the discussion that occurred and that took place between the believers and between the Najashi. The affair of the migration itself was one that occurs in a lengthy narration wherein we have the fact that the Muhajirun, when they discuss with Najashi, and that is the narration, the longer and more lengthy narration of Salama radiallahu anha, that Salama radiallahu anha, when she discusses the narration, she makes mention of the of detail related to how Abu Musa, how they traveled and met with the Muhajirun, and then when they entered upon, or they were called by the Najashi, and the detail concerning exactly what took place. As far as that which is related then, between, or related to the hiwar and the debate between the Najashi and those who were present from the Mushrikun of Quraysh, we see that there are some narrations, and we'll come to them, we'll return back to those riwayat when we finish this hadith firstly. He mentions then, that is Amr, from among those who were sent by Quraysh, Amr said, فَإِنَّهُمْ يُخَالِفُونَكَ فِي عِيسَى بْنِ مَرْيَمْ. He said that they oppose you as it relates to Isa ibn Maryam. They oppose you as it relates to Isa ibn Maryam. قَالَ قُلْنَا أَوْ نَقُولُ أَفْوَنْ. He said, فَمَا تَقُولُونَ فِي عِيسَى بْنِ مَرْيَمْ وَأُمَّهُ. So the Najashi, he said, what is it that you say about Isa ibn Maryam and his mother? And so he said, نَقُولُ كَمَا قَالَ اللَّهُ. They said, we say as Allah Azza wa Jal has said, هو كلمته وروحه ألقاها إلى العذراء البتول التي لم يمسها بشر ولم يقرضها ولد. He said that we say as Allah Azza wa Jal has said, and that is that he is the word of Allah and the ruh of Allah, the spirit يعني from Allah Azza wa Jal that he placed upon the virgin maiden, the one who was not touched by any man, neither did she undergo any pain from childbirth. The affair here, ikhwan, of the discussion of Isa ibn Maryam, what is clearest, as occurs in the other versions of the narration and the other versions of what took place, was that this occurred on a second day. The question about Isa ibn Maryam occurred on a second day. Initially, Isa ibn Maryam, or the questioning related to Isa ibn Maryam, occurred when, the initial questioning was about the deen. The question about Isa ibn Maryam occurred after Amr ibn al-As and Ammara. They came and said, because they saw that they were successful convincing Najashi that they should remain, so they returned and tried to create a problem for the believers. And so we mentioned then the version of Salama. The version of Salama, she mentions, لَمَّا نَزَلْنَا أَرْضَ حَبَشَ جَاوَرْنَا بِهَا خَيْرَ جَارٍ آمِنَّا عَلَى دِينِنَا وَعَبَدْنَا اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ لَا نُؤْذَى وَلَا نَسْمَعْ شَيْئًا نَكْرَهُ. She said that when we entered the land of Habasha, we entered a land wherein we had the best neighbor. That is a reference to Najashi himself. We were safe and we had security in relation to our deen, and we worshipped Allah Azza wa Jal, and we were not harmed. And we did not hear any statement that displeased us. And we did not hear any abuse or what have you. فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ ذَلِكَ قُرَيْشًا تَمَرُوا بَيْنَهُمْ أَنْ يَبْعَثُوا إِلَى النَّجَاشِ فِينَا رَجُلَيْنَ. So when that reached Quraysh, they saw that they should send in our regard, send against us two men. And so they sent two individuals, again Amr ibn al-As and Ammara. And they sent them with hadaya. They gathered hadaya, they gathered gifts, and they sent them with those gifts for the king. She mentions, radiallahu anha, that ثُمَّ بَعَثُوا بِذَلِكَ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ ابْنِ أَبِي رَبِيعَةَ وَعَمْرِ ابْنِ الْعَاسِ وَأَمْرَهُمَا بِأَمْرِهِمَا أَوْ بِأَمْرِهِمْ وَأَمَرُوهُمَا بِأَمْرِهِمْ وَقَالُوا لَهُمَا ادْفَعَا إِلَى كُلٍ بطريق هديته قبل أن تكلم نجاشي فيهم. That they were commanded And in this narration, it mentions that the other, the one who accompanied Abdullah ibn Amr, or Amr Afwan ibn al-As, was Abdullah ibn Abi Rabi'ah, and not Amara. So she mentions that they went then and they brought gifts and they entered with salutations. And so they said, she said that we were in the land, and we, as she mentioned earlier, we had khayru jar, we had the best neighbor, yani that we were accompanied, or we were in close proximity to the best neighbor, yani one that didn't oppress us, one that didn't seek that we be expelled, and other than that. She said, وَلَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْءٌ أَبْغَدْ إِلَىٰ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ ابْنِ أَبِي رَبِيعَةٍ وَعَمْرِ بْنِ الْعَاسِ مِنْ أَنْ يَسْمَعُ كَلَامَهُمُ النَّجَاشِي. قَالَتْ She said that there was nothing that was more hated to the two of them other than that they would hear that the Najashi was listening to us, that they disliked and despised the fact that the Najashi was listening to us. She said, radiallahu anha, so they sent, or that is the Najashi, he sent his priests out to address us. She said he sent his priests out to address us, and they opened their scrolls, and his scrolls of the scriptures that they had. And so they asked, ما هذا الدين الذي قد فارقتم فيه قومكم ثم تدخلوا في ديني ولم تدخلوا في ديني ولا في ديني أحد من هذه الملل. And so the Najashi, when his priests were around him, the scrolls were opened up. He said, addressing them, what is this deen by way of which you have opposed the religion of your people, and you haven't entered our deen? Neither have you entered the deen of anyone else. So what is this deen that you present? What is this deen that you, yani, that they have an issue with you concerning? And so she said, فَكَانَ أَلَّذِي تَكَلَّمَ جَعْفَرَ. So Ja'far spoke and he said, أَيُّهَا الْمَلِكُ كُنَّا قَوْمًا أَهْلُ جَاهِلِيَّةِ نَعْبُدُ الْأَسْنَامِ وَنَأْكُلُ الْمَيْتَ وَنَأْتِي الْفَوَاحِشِ وَنَقْطَعُ الأرحام ونسيء الجوار ويأكل القوي منا الضعيف فكنا على ذلك حتى بعث الله إلينا رسولا منا نعرف نسبه وصدقه وأمانته وعفافه فدعانا إلى الله لنوحده ونعبده ونخلع ما كنا نعبد نحن وآباؤنا من الحجارة والأوثان. He said, O king, verily we are a people who were in Jahiliyyah worshipping idols, and we would consume the dead carcass, and we would carry out acts of fawahish, acts of lewdness. We would cut off the ties of kinship, and we were evil as neighbors. We were bad neighbors. The strong from among us would consume the weak. And we remained upon this state until Allah Azza wa Jal sent among us a messenger from us. We know his lineage. We're acquainted with his truthfulness. And we know of his trustworthiness and his chastity. And he called us to Allah Azza wa Jal, that we single him out and that we worship him alone, and that we refrain and leave alone that which we used to worship, us and our forefathers, from rocks and from awthan and from idols. وَأَمَرَنَا بِصِدْقِ الْحَدِيثِ. He commanded us with صِدْقِ الْحَدِيثِ. He commanded us with truthfulness. وَأَدَاءِ الْأَمَانَةِ وَصِلَّةِ الرَّحِمِ وَحُسْنِ الْجِوَارِ وَالْكَفْ عَنِ الْمَحَارِمُ وَالْدِّمَاءِ. He said that he commanded us to be truthful in our speech and to fulfill the amana, to fulfill the trust, And he commanded us to join the bonds of kinship and to be good neighbors and to refrain from our maharim, from any type of intimacy with our relatives and those who are from our blood. And he has prohibited us from fawahish, from lewdness, wa qawl al-zoor, and from false statements, wa akli mal al-yateem, and from consuming the wealth of the orphan, wa qadf al-muhsanat, and from falsely accusing innocent women, wa amarna an na'bud Allah wahda, la nushrika bihi shay'a. And he has commanded us to worship Allah alone, and that we do not make shirk with him. وَأَمَرَنَا بِالصَّلَاةِ وَالزَّكَاةِ وَالصِّيَامِ. And he has commanded us with zakah, with salah, and with zakah, and with fasting. قَالَتْ فَعَدَدْنَا عَلَيْهِ أَوْ فَعَدَّدَ عَلَيْهِ أُمُورَ الْإِسْلَامِ فَصَدَقْنَاهُ وَآمَنَّا بِهِ. He said, so Ja'far, Ja'far mentioned the affairs of Islam, and then he continued. So we believed in him, and we believed what he said was true, and we followed him in faith. وَاتَّبَعْنَا عَلَى مَا جَاءَ بِهِ مِنَ اللَّهِ. And we followed him in that which came to us from him, from Allah Azza wa Jal. فَعَبَدْنَا اللَّهَ وَحْدَهُ لَمْ نُشْرِكَ بِهِ شَيْئًا. And so we worship Allah Azza wa Jal alone, making no partners with him. وَهَرَّمْنَا مَا حَرَّمَ عَلَيْنَا وَأَحْلَلْنَا مَا أَحَلَّ لَنَا. And we make haram that which he has made haram for us, and we make halal that which he makes halal for us. فَعَدَى عَلَيْنَا قَوْمُنَا فَعَذَّبُونَا وَفَتَنُونَا عَنْ دِينِنَا لِيَرُدُّونَا إِلَىٰ عِبَادَةِ الْأَوْثَانِ مِنْ عِبَادَةِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. And so when that occurred, our people, they had animosity with us, and they punished us, and they persecuted us, and they put us on the trial as it relates to our deen, in order to return us back to the worship of the idols, away from the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal. وَأَن نَسْتَحِلَّ مَا كُنَّا نَسْتَحِلُّ مِنَ الْخَبَائِثِ. And that we make halal that which we used to make halal and consider permissible from the evil things and from the khaba'ith. فَلَمَّا قَهَرُونَا وَظَلَمُونَا وَضَيَّقُوا عَلَيْنَا وَحَالُوا بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَ دِينِنَا خَرَجْنَا إِلَىٰ بِلَادِكَ وَاخْتَرْنَاكَ عَلَىٰ مَنْ سِوَاكَ. He said, and so when that occurred, and when they made it difficult for us, and they compelled and oppressed us, and made the affairs, and persecuted us, and made the affairs difficult, then we had no choice except to leave our land, and we have chosen you over everyone else, and we desire to be your neighbor. وَرَجَوْنَا أَن لَا نُظْلِمَ عِنْدَكَ أَيُّهَا الْمَلِكِ. And we had hopes that we would not be oppressed with you, O King. قَالَتْ. And so she said, فَقَالَ لَهُ النَّجَاشِي. And so the Najashi said to her, to him, هَلْ مَعَكْ مِمَّا جَاءَ بِهِ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ شَيْءٍ. And so he said, do you have with you from that which Allah has given him? Do you have anything from that with you? فَقَالَ لَهُ جَعْفَرْ نَعَمْ. And so Ja'far, he said, yes. فَقَالَ لَهُ النَّجَاشِي اِقْرَأُوا عَلَيَّ. And so Najashi, he said, recite to me, read it to me. فَقَرَعَ عَلَيْهِ صَدْرًا مِنْ كَافْهَا يَا عَيْنْ صَاد. And so he recited the beginnings of كَافْهَا يَا عَيْنْ صَاد, Surah Maryam. ذِكْرُ رَحْمَةِ رَبِّكَ عَبْدَهُ زَكَرِيَّا إِلَىٰ آخِرِ السُّورَةِ. The mention Allah Azza wa Jal occurs in the beginnings of Surah Maryam. Indeed, Allah Azza wa Jal reminds you and mentions to his servant the affair of his slave Zakariya. إِذْ نَادَى رَبَّهُ نِدَاءً خَفِيًّا. When he called upon his Lord in seclusion and in private, when he mentioned that he has no offsprings, and supplicated to Allah Azza wa Jalla that Allah Azza wa Jalla give him an heir. And so he recited the beginnings of Suratul Maryam, قالت فبكى فبكى والله النجاشي حتى أخضلت لحيته وبكت أساقفته. She said, and so King Najashi, when he heard those verses, he began to cry. And he cried until his beard was filled with tears. And the priests who were around him, they likewise began to cry, to the extent that the masahif, to the extent that their scrolls, the scrolls of their scriptures, became wet and damp. Hina sami'u ma talla alayhi, when they heard what was recited upon him and upon them. Thumma qala an-Najashi, inna hadha walladhi ja'a bihi 'Isa ليخرج من لا يخرج من مشكات واحدة. He said indeed this and that which Isa has come with has exited from one lamp and from one lantern. And then he said انطلقا فلا والله لا أسلمهم إليكما ولا يكادون. And so he said, the two of you should leave, because by Allah I would never give them to you and would not come near to that. And in some of the narrations we have the mention of the fact that he said, return to them their gifts. And so on the basis of that instance and of that occurrence, they were given the permission to remain in the land of Najashi. There is similarly, as we mentioned in the same narration, that which followed from them attempting to, when they saw that the Najashi was pleased with them and wouldn't give them up, then the following day attempted another approach. And that is that she mentioned that they came the following day and they said, فَقَالَ لَهُ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ بْنِ أَبِي رَبِيعَةَ وَكَانَ أَتْقَى الرَّجُلَيْنِ فِينَا. That he said, that is Abdullah ibn Abi Rabi'ah, and he was the most God-fearing of the two of them, as far as we were concerned, that they were going to return and attempt to turn the Najashi away again from them. And so it was said to him, do not do so, don't do so, فَإِنَّ لَهُمْ أَرْحَامًا وَإِنْ كَانُوا قَدْ خَالَفُونَا قَالَ وَاللَّهِ لَأَخْبِرَنَّهُ أَنَّهُمْ يَزْعُمُونَ أَنَّ عِيسَى بْنِ مَرْيَمْ عَبْدٌ. And so he said, then it was said to him, that they are relatives of ours. Even if they have opposed us, then leave them, they are relatives. He said, by Allah, I am going to do so. Yani I am going to inform them of the fact that Isa ibn Maryam, or that they say that Isa ibn Maryam is an abd, is nothing but a slave and a servant of Allah Azza wa Jal. So even though they considered him the best, he was the one that intended the most harm for them. And so the following day, he went out to the king and he said, أيها الملك, إنهم يقولون في عيسى بن مريم قولا عظيما فأرسل إليهم فسألهم عما يقولون فيه قالت فأرسل إليهم ليسألهم عنه. She said that he sent for them then to ask what it is he says, or what it is they say concerning Isa ibn Maryam. So the king sent for them on a second occasion, and she said, that is Salama, she said, فَلَمْ يَزَلْ بِنَا مِثْلَهَا قَتْ فاجتمع القول القوم ثم قال بعضهم لبعض ماذا تقولون في عيسى بن مريم إذا سألكم عنه فقالوا نقول والله ما قال الله وما جاءنا به نبينا كائنا في ذلك ما هو كائن. She said, so they, when they gathered together, she said, it was the worst gathering that they had. And it was the worst thing that they were made to experience. You can imagine, Ikhwan, that they now felt as though they, number one, had a new land of Hijrah. Number two, that even though there was an attempt to get them expelled from the land, Allah Azza wa Jal planted the seed of Iman in the heart of Najashi. Najashi accepted their qawl, allowed them to remain. And then this issue arises. And of course, it is clear that the position of the believers and that which Allah Azza wa Jal has revealed in the Quran as it relates to Isa ibn Maryam differs. And it is the issue wherein there is difference between the Muslim and the Christian. And that is our position concerning Isa ibn Maryam. So she said it was the worst gathering that we had. That we came together prior to entering upon the Najashi. And we said, what shall we say? What is it we shall say? And so she said that indeed it was a terrible, it was the one of the worst gatherings that we had. And so we said, and one presumed from the narration that it was Ja'far who responded, that they said, نَقُولُ وَاللَّهِ مَا قَالَ اللَّهِ, that we will say by Allah what Allah Azza wa Jal has said. وَمَا جَاءَنَا بِهِ نَبِيُّنَا, and we will say that which our messenger has given to us. كَائِنًا فِي ذَلِكَ مَا هُوَ كَائِن, and come what may, we will say what Allah Azza wa Jal has said and what our messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said and has given us. فَلَمَّا دَخَلُوا عَلَيْهِ, so when they enter upon him, قَالَ لَهُمْ مَاذَا تَقُولُونَ فِي عِيسَى بْنِ مَرْيَمَ, He said, when they entered upon him on the second occasion, he said, what is it that you say about Isa ibn Maryam? And so she said, فَقَالَ جَعْفَرْ ibn Abi Talib, وَنَقُولُ فِي الَّذِي جَاءَنَا بِهِ نَبِيُّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ صلى الله عليه وسلم هُوَ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولُهُ وَرُوحُهُ وَكَلِمَتُهُ أَلْقَاهَا إِلَى مَرْيَمِ الْعَذْرَى الْبَتُولِ. He said, we say that which our messenger has informed us of, and that is that he is a servant of Allah and his messenger, and a ruh and a spirit, and a spirit from Allah and a word that was sent to Maryam. This statement, ikhwan, a spirit or a ruh and a word that was sent to Maryam, of course, ikhwan, our belief is not that Allah Azza wa Jal sent and created Isa from himself, which is the belief of the Christian, or that he's a part of Allah Azza wa Jal. Since the term Ruh, which is another issue that we differ with the people of the book with, the Ruh of Allah is not something that Allah Azza wa Jal possesses. Bima'na, it is not from the Zat of Allah Azza wa Jal. It is Allah's Ruh in that it is created. And it is not from the Zat of Allah Azza wa Jal. And so Allah Azza wa Jal possesses it as he possesses all of his creation. But it is not from his, he doesn't possess it in bima'na, that it is a part of his essence and a part of himself. We do not attribute a Ruh to Allah Azza wa Jal, a soul or a spirit to Allah Azza wa Jal. Rather, we say that the Ruh is the creation of Allah. The spirit is something created by Allah. And thus the spirit that was sent to Maryam and the spirit that was in Isa ibn Maryam was a created Ruh, a created spirit as we have within ourselves. And so it is no different in that it is from the creation of Allah and not from Allah Azza wa Jal, since we do not affirm a spirit or a ruh or a soul to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is number one. Number two, as far as the kalima or the term kalimatuhu alqaha ila Maryam, a word that was given to Maryam, then the intent behind that word that was given to Maryam is the qawl of Allah Azza wa Jal, the statement of Allah, kun fayakun, be and he was. Be and he was. The term ruh, similarly, on some occasions,
as it relates to the story of Isa ibn Maryam, refers and is a reference to Jibreel. Since Jibreel in the book of Allah Azza wa Jalla is referred to as a ruh. Similarly, and the ruh al-Qudus, as he is referenced or he is referred to in places in the book of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And so, in some places in the story of Isa, and that which took place, and that which related to the miracles that took place at his hands, he was aided in that regard by the Ruh al-Qudus, and that is that Jibreel gave him aid and gave him support in that regard. And as far as the word then, the word is not as we find in the Bible, that the word was with Allah and then the word became flesh. And that in the beginning was the word, and the word was with Allah, and the word became flesh. That is not our belief. That we believe that Allah Azza wa Jalla, the word is the word of Allah, kun. The command of Allah, be. And Allah Azza wa Jalla is mentioned in Azakar in Surah Ali Imran, إِنَّ مَثَلَ عِيسَى عِنْدَ اللَّهِ كَمَثَلِ آدَمْ خَلَقَهُ مِنْ تُرَابٍ ثُمَّ قَالَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. That the example of Isa with Allah is as the example of Adam. He created him from turab, he created him from clay, and then he said to him, be, and he was. And so whenever we find, and that is important to mention, because Christians sometimes they say, doesn't the Quran even say that Jesus was a word from Allah? And that is exactly what we believe. And that is not then the same. Na'am, it mentions that he is kalimatuhu alqaha ila Maryam wa ruhum min. But the kalima is the kalima, or the statement, be, the word is the statement be, and the ruh is that which Allah Azza wa Jalla has created in Isa ibn Maryam, as he created in every individual when it was placed in the womb, when the fetus of Isa ibn Maryam was placed in the womb, the soul was blown into that which was within her stomach, and that which was within her womb, and that soul then was again, as we mentioned, a created soul. That the attribution to Allah Azza wa Jal, that is the Ruhullah, is one of the forms of attribution that Ahl Sunnah and the scholars of Ahl Sunnah discuss. The things that are attributed to Allah Azza wa Jal are of two types. Idafatu khaliq, or idafatu makhluqin ila al-khaliq, and idafatu sifa ila al-mawsuf. Idafatu sifa ila al-mawsuf, that is the attribution of a characteristic to the one who is described with that characteristic. The attribution of a characteristic to the one who is ascribed with that characteristic. And so the face of Allah, the hand of Allah, these are from the attributes of Allah that are a part of Allah Azza wa Jal. And this is the first type of attribution, idafatu sifa ila al-mawsuf. That is, the attribution of a characteristic to the one who possesses that characteristic. And that is Allah Azza wa Jal. And then, إِضَافَةُ مَخْلُوقٍ إِلَى الْخَالِقِ. That is, the attribution of something created to the one who created it. And that is the other type of attribution that we have. And so when we come across the ruh of Allah, yani when we come across the soul of Allah, or the spirit of Allah, then it is the same as Baytullah, the house of Allah. It is the same as Abdullah, the servant of Allah. We don't say that these are a part of Allah, but these are created things that are attributed to Allah. And the attribution is what is known as Idafatu Takreemin wa Tashreef. Idafatu Takreemin wa Tashreef, which is Allah attributes those things to Himself in order to ennoble that thing. When it is attributed to him, that is from the greatest forms of attribution of anything created to his creator, that is, that he is attributed to his creator. And so the term Abdullah, as I had mentioned, is from the greatest titles that were given to the Messenger of Allah, that he is the Abdullah. And thus when Allah Azza wa Jal wishes to raise the mention of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he will refer to him as his abd, as his servant. And that is greater in ennobling the individual that has that mentioned concerning him. سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى. So Allah Azza wa Jal attributes the soul to himself, na'am, but that attribution is إضافة تكريم وتشريف. That is, it is an إضافة or an attribution of nobility. That it gives nobility to the thing that is attributed to Allah Azza wa Jal, not that that thing is a part of Allah. And so the soul then, we do not affirm a soul to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here, Ja'far, he mentions that we say that he is the ruh, and a kalima, or a word that was given to Maryam, the virgin maiden. And so Najashi, فضرب النجاشي بيده إلى الأرض وأخذ منها عودا ثم قال والله ما عدا عيسى بن مريم ما قلت هذا العود ما قلت هذا العود. He mentioned that he said by Allah, other than this issue of عيسى بن مريم, then the difference between us is like as the difference between this oud or this stick, yani this branch. And so he said, then it is for you to traverse through my land and you will be in safety. And whomsoever curses you will be reproached and will be retribution will be taken from him, the one who curses you. And he said that three times. And then he said, مَا أَحَبَّ أَنَّ لِي دَبْرًا مِنَ الذَّهَبِ وَأَنِّي آذَيْتُ رَجُلًا مِنْكُمْ. And so he said, I would not wish or would not hope to have a mountain of gold in exchange for harming any one of you. And so we see then that the Najashi, on the basis of the discourse that they had, that Allah Azza wa Jal, he placed this khair and he placed huda and guidance in the heart of the Najashi. And as some narrations indicate clearly, that Najashi, he said, and we'll mention towards the end of the narration, the fact that Najashi, he went on to praise the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salama, she mentioned, wallahi inna la ala dhalika id nazala bihi rajulan min al habasha. She explained the fact that they remained in that state until a man from Habasha or another Ethiopian came, and there was a scenario that took place with that other Ethiopian that we mentioned. From those who similarly intended to make the migration to Habasha, we had the great Sahabi al-Jaleel, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu had intended, ikhwan, to make the migration to Habasha, to make the migration to Abyssinia. And that has in it an indication of the fact that even Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu was being persecuted and went through difficulty. There is a narration that Aisha radiallahu anha, she said that indeed I did not perceive my parents. That is, I did not know of them. From the time that I was young and a baby, I did not perceive them except that they were upon the deen. Except that they were upon the religion. يعني إِلَّا وَهُمَا يَدِينَانِ بِدِينِ يُدِينَانِ الدِّينِ وَلَمْ يَمُرُّ عَلَيْنَا يَوْمٌ إِلَّا يَأْتِينَا فِيهِ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ طَرَفَيِ النَّهَارِ بُكْرَةً وَعَشِيَّةً. He said, she said that there was no time or there was no day except that the Prophet ﷺ would come to us, the Messenger of Allah ﷺ would come to us within it. Yani there was no day except that the Messenger would visit us. That was either in the earlier part of the day or in the later part of the day. She mentions radiallahu anha, فَلَمَّا ابْتَلَى الْمُسْلِمُونَ خَرَجَ أَبُو بَكْرٍ مُهَاجِرًا قِبَلَ الْحَبَشَةِ And so when the Muslims were harmed and were put on the trail, Abu Bakr likewise made the migration in the direction of Habasha. Because the Prophet ﷺ had not made the migration to Habasha. The Prophet ﷺ remained in Mecca. And that will indicate to you the bravery of the Messenger of Allah ﷺ. That the Messenger, Na'am, he received something from protection from his uncle Abu Talib. But as we've seen in that which has passed, he was still being attacked. And he was still being harmed. But he was protected in the sense that they were not able to kill him and they wouldn't take his life. But he was still being attacked and persecuted. He was still being ridiculed and mocked. And so the Messenger of Allah, he remained in Mecca even though the companions had traveled and made the migration to Abyssinia. And so she, radiallahu anha, she mentioned that when the persecution occurred, Abu Bakr Siddiq, he likewise migrated to Abyssinia. She said, Hatta ida balaga bark al ghimad, until he reached a region which was a place between Mecca and it was some 5 or so miles away from upon 5 or so nights away from Mecca. He came across an individual known as Ibn Ghadna. And he was the leader of the people of that region. So he said, Aina turid ya Aba Bakr? He said, Daghna. Ashinda? Ghadna. Oh, la, Daghna, afwan. Daghna. Zillat lisa, na. Daghna. She said, so he said to Abu Bakr Siddiq, Aina turid ya Aba Bakr? He said, where is it that you're intending to go, Ya Abu Bakr? Where are you trying to go to? And so Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he said, أخرج أو أخرجني قومي وأنا أريد أن أسيح في الأرض فأعبد ربي. Indeed, my people have expelled me and I wish to travel through the land and worship my Lord. يعني to leave Mecca. فقال ابن دغنا, إن مثلك لا يخرج ولا يخرج. He said, the like of you should not leave, neither should you be expelled. فَإِنَّكَ تَكْسِبِ الْمَعْدُومِ وَتَسِلِ الرَّحِمِ وَتَحْمِلَ الْكَلِّ وَتُقِئُ الضَّيْفِ وَتُعِينَ عَلَى نَوَاصِبِ الْحَقِّ. He said that indeed you are from those who aid the weak, and you join the bonds of kinship, or make ease or provide ease to those who go through difficulty. And you are a good host to your guests. And you aid in the ways of good. وَأَنَا لَكَ جَارٌ. And I will grant you protection. فَارْجِعْ وَعْبُدْ رَبَّكْ بِبِلَادِكْ. And so go back and worship your Lord in your land. فَارْتَحَلَ إِبْنِ دَغْنَةٍ. So Ibn Daghna, he returned with Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu back to Mecca. فَطَافَ فِي أَشْرَافِ كُفَّارِ قُرَيْشِ فَقَالَ لَهُمْ إِنَّ أَبَا بَكْرٍ لَا يَخْرُجُ مِثْلَهُ وَلَا يُخْرَجُ. He said that indeed Abu Bakr, the likes of him is not to leave, neither should he be expelled. He went and addressed the notables of Quraysh, the Kuffar of Quraysh. He addressed them and said that the likes of Abu Bakr, he shouldn't leave, neither should he be expelled. He said, أَتُخْرِجُونَ رَجُلًا تَكْسِبُ الْمَعْدُومُ وَيَسِلُ الرَّحِمُ وَيَحْمِلُ الْكَلُّ وَيَقْرِئُ الضَّيْفِ وَيُعِينَ عَلَى نَوَاصِبِ الْحَقِّ. Will you expel a man who aids the poor and who joins the bonds of kinship and who provides ease or facilitates ease for those going through difficulty, and looks after his guests and aids in the way of good? And so the tribe of Quraysh, they fulfilled the jiwar, or they honored the protection that was offered by Ibn Daghna. And this affair of al-jiwar is something that was manifested among the people of Jahiliyyah, and that is that if an individual who was respected and honored among a particular tribe came and approached them and said, such and such an individual will come to you, I command and I request that you give him jiwar. That is, that he be protected, he be taken care of, he be looked after, and no harm should come to him. And so that is, was something that the people of Jahiliyyah, that they used to carry out. And so he said that indeed the like of Abu Bakr shouldn't be expelled, neither should he leave. And so they granted him jiwar on the basis of the request of Ibn Daghna. And so Abu Bakr, he was safe. فَقَالُوا لِإِبْنِ دَغْنَى مُرْ أَبَا بَكْرٍ فَلْيَأْبُدْ رَبَّهُ فِي دَارِ وَلْيُصَلِّ وَيَقْرَأْ مَا شَاءَ وَلَا يُؤْذِينَا بِذَلِكَ وَلَا يَسْتَعْلِنْ بِهِ فَإِنَّا قَدْ خَشِيْنَا أَنْ يُفْتِنَ أَبْنَاءَنَا وَنِسَاءَنَا. So they said to him, so we will give him and grant him that respite, with the condition that he prays at home, and with the condition that he recites what he wishes, whatever he wishes to recite at home, and that he does not make himself manifest, that he doesn't do so publicly. For indeed we fear for the fitna, fear fitna upon our children and upon our women folk. And so Ibn Daghna, he said that to Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, and placed upon him that he should worship Allah in his home and not make public the affair of salah, neither the recitation of the Quran. Rather, he should do so in his home. And so Abu Bakr fulfilled that and carried that out. And then it occurred to him that he should make in the fana of his home a masjid. The fana is in the... and we still have within the homes and within many of the buyut in the land of the Arab, which is like a courtyard at the front of the house. It was similar to a garden, but it is not quite a garden. The hosh, which is you could say a courtyard. It is ordinarily surrounded by a wall. And it is possible to sit within it, to have gatherings in it, to entertain guests within it, to serve food within it. It is known in our time as the hosh, or the area at the front of the house. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, then he saw that he should have or build for himself a small masjid for himself in the hosh, in front of his house. And so he did so in the front of his home, and he would go in it, he would pray, and he would recite the Quran in his masjid, in his home. No. And so the women of the mushrikun would approach the fana, would approach the house of Abu Bakr, and they would be amazed by him, the women and their children. They would be amazed by him and they would look at him. And Abu Bakr, وَكَانَ أَبُو بَكْرٍ رَجُلًا بَكَّاءً لَا يَمْلِكُ دَمَعَهُ هِنَ يَقْرَأَ الْقُرْآنَ. And so Abu Bakr al-Siddiq was a person who was oft given to crying, that he was quick to shed tears, and he could not hold himself when he would recite the Qur'an. فَأَقْرَعَ ذَلِكَ أَشْرَافَ قُرَيْشٍ من المشركين. And so the ashraf of Quraysh, the nobles and the notables among Quraysh, disliked that. And that is, that even though we've told him to stay at home, he's built this masjid in the front of his house, he prays, he recites the Quran, he cries, the women come and the children come and they watch him and they listen and they're amazed by him. And so they disliked that. And so they sent again to Ibn Daghna. They sent back to Ibn Daghna, فَقَدِمَ عَلَيْهِمْ. And so he came back to them and they said to him, إِنَّا كُنَّا أَجَرْنَا أَبَا بَكْرٍ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَعْبُدَ رَبَّهُ فِي دَارِ وَإِنَّهُ جَاوَزَ ذَلِكَ فَابْتَنَى مَسْجِدًا بِفَنَاءِ دَارِ وَأَعْلَنَ الصَّلَاةِ وَالْقِرَاءَ وَقَدْ خَشِيْنَا أَنْ يُفْتَنَ أَبْنَاءَنَا وَنِسَاءَنَا فَأْتِهِ فَإِنْ أَهَبَّ أن يقتصر على أن يعبد ربه في داره فعل، وإن أبى إلا أن يعلن لنا ذلك فسله أن يرد إليك ذمتك، فإنا كرهنا أن نغفرك ولسنا مقرين لأبي بكر الاستعلان. So they said to Ibn Daghna, when they called him back, they said that we have given him protection based upon your request. And now he has built a masjid in the front of his home. And he prays in it and he recites the Quran within it. And we fear fitna for our children and for our women. And so go to him and tell him that if he wishes to remain upon what we agreed, and that is that he worships his Lord in his home, then he should do so. And if not, and he continues and persists in making this affair of his public, then we will ask you to revoke your protection from him, because we dislike to oppose that which we agreed upon with you. And though we do not agree, and we don't want to oppose you, but we don't agree with the affair of Abu Bakr making his deen public. So Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, فَآتَى إِبْنِ دَغْنَى أَبَا بَكْرٍ فَقَالَ قَدْ عَلِمْتُ أَلَّذِي عَقَدْتُ لَكْ عَلَيْهِ أو قَدْ عَلِمْتَ أَنْتَ الَّذِي عَقَدْتُ لَكَ عَلَيْهِ فَإِمَّا أَنْ تَقْتَصِرَ عَلَى ذَلِكَ وَإِمَّا أَنْ تَرُدَّ إِلَيَّ ذِمَّتِي فَإِنِّي لَا أُحِبُّ أَنْ تَسْمَعَ الْعَرَبُ أني أخفرت في رجل عقدت له. That he went to Abu Bakr and said that you know of that which we agreed to, and you should remain upon that. Stay, yani, within the realms of what we agreed. He said, so either you return to me my dhimma, that is, either you return to me this protection, and we, yani, we nullify it, because I don't want, yani, either fulfill that or return to me the protection. That is, forget, we cancel this agreement that we have, because I don't want the Arab to say that I have made an arrangement with them and I have broken my part of the arrangement. And so Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he said, إِنِّي أَرُدُّ لَكَ جِوَارَكَ وَأَرْضَى بِجِوَارِ اللَّهِ. He said then, in that case, you can take your protection back. And I am pleased and happy and satisfied with the jiwar of Allah, with the protection of Allah Azza wa Jal. And so, that was the position of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And that was, without doubt, Ikhwan, a great and a tremendous stance of Abu Bakr. Ibn Battal, he mentions concerning this position and concerning this occurrence. He said, وَفِي هَذَا مِنَ الْفِقْهِ أَنَّهُ إِذَا خَشِيَ الْمُؤْمِنَ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ مِنَ الظَّالِمِ أَنَّهُ مُبَاحٌ لَهُ وَجَائِزٌ أَنْ يَسْتَجِيرُ بِمَنْ يَمْنَعَهُ وَيُحْمِيهِ مِنَ الظُّلْمِ وَإِنْ كَانَ مُجِيرُهُ كَافِرًا. He said, in it from fiqh and in it from understanding, is that it is possible that if a person is oppressed and it is that it is permissible for him to take the protection of the one who will prevent him from that oppression, even if the one who protects him is a kafir. Even if the one who protects him is a kafir. In arada al-akhdu bil-ruqsa wa in arada al-akhdu bil-shidda ala nafsihi falahu dhalik. That is, if he wishes to take the permission, then that is the permissibility of having someone who is a non-Muslim, a kafir, protect him. And that, Ikhwan, then is again from the fiqh that the likes of the Khawarij and other than them wouldn't understand, since they are juhal and have no understanding, Ikhwan, and no knowledge of that which has occurred with the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and that which occurred with his companions. He mentioned, but if he wishes to take the shiddah, if he wishes to take the harder route and leave alone the protection, then it is permissible for him to do so. Just as Abu Bakr as-Siddiq nullified the protection of Ibn Daghna, and he was pleased with the protection of Allah Azza wa Jal and his messenger. And Abu Bakr at that time was from those who were weak, but he gave preference to being patient in receiving the persecution from the mushrikeen and seeking the reward for that from Allah Azza wa Jal. And he remained constant in that regard. And nothing from harm came to him until Allah Azza wa Jal gave permission for them to make the hijrah. That is, thereafter, nothing from harm came to him until Allah gave the permission for them to make the migration, yani the hijrah, not to Abyssinia, but the hijrah to Medina. And so we'll round up then with the last of, or the end part of that narration, the narration of Salama. Salama, she mentioned, radiallahu anha, that by Allah, we remained in this state then. That is, we remained in Habasha, living under the kingdom of King Najashi. And so she said, Wallahi, ma alimtuna hazinna huznan qat kana ashaddu alayna min huznin huzni hazahu inda dhalik. She said that we remained in that state until an individual from the people of Habasha, until another Ethiopian, he came and he debated or he contended with King Habasha, King Najashi, for dominion over Habasha. And another king, another individual came then and sought leadership. And so there was a dispute between this other individual and King Najashi. And so she said that by Allah we did not receive huzn. We were not grieved by anything the way we were grieved by this affair. She said, فَتَخَوَّفْنَا أَنْ يَظْهَرَ ذَلِكَ الرَّجُلُ عَلَى النَّجَاشِ فَيَأْتِي رَجُلٌ لَا يَعْرِفُ مِنْ حَقِّنَا مَا كَانَ النَّجَاشِ يَعْرِفُ مِنْ. She said, and so we feared that this other individual would come along and would take over from Najashi and not recognize the haqq and the right that Najashi had afforded us. And so it was a cause of fear for them. She said, وَسَارَ إِلَيْهِ النَّجَاشِ وَبَيْنَهُمَا عَرْضُ نِين. And so the Najashi, he traveled towards him, and between the two of them was the Nil, and it was the River Nile. And something from an altercation then took place between King Najashi and between this individual, and in the midst of the altercation, the man was speared in his chest. The man was speared in his chest, and he was killed. And so she said, فَدَعَوْنَ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى لِلنَّجَاشِ بِالظُّهُورِ عَلَى عَدُوِّهِ وَتَمْكِينِ لَهُ فِي بِلَادِهِ. That we were making dua, we supplicated to Allah, that Allah Azza wa Jal would give victory to Najashi over the one that came to contend with him with his land. And so she said, فَوَاللَّهِ إِنَّا لَعَلَى ذَلِكَ مُتَوَقِّعُونَ لِمَا هُوَ كَائِنٍ اطَّلَعَ الزُّبَيْرُ وَهُوَ يَسْعَى فَلَمِعَ بِثَوْبِهِ وَهُوَ يَقُولُ أَلَا أَبْشِرُوا فَقَدْ ظَفَرَ النَّجَاشِي وَأَهْلَكَ اللَّهُ عَدُوَّهُ وَمَكَّنَ لَهُ فِي بِلَادِهِ. And so when we were in that state, yani not knowing what had happened and not knowing what was taking place, King Zubayr came running, holding his thawb. He came running saying, will you not give glad tidings? For indeed, Najashi has dominated the individual who was his enemy. He has overpowered him, and Allah Azza wa Jal has maintained his rule in the land. She said, فَوَاللَّهِ مَا عَلِمْتُنَا فَرِحْنَا فَرْحَةً قَتْ مِثْلَهَا. She said, by Allah, I do not know of us having joy and pleasure the way we had joy on that news or due to that news. وَرَجَعَ النَّجَاشِ وَقَدْ أَهْلَكَ اللَّهُ عَدُوَّهُ وَمَكَّنَ لَهُ فِي بِلَادِهِ وَاسْتَوْتَنَ عَلَيْهِ أَمْرَ الْحَبَشَةِ. And so Najashi returned back to his kingdom, and Allah Azza wa Jal يعني blessed them, إخوان, in that regard. She said, فَكُنَّا عِنْدَهُ فِي خَيْرِ مَنْزِلْ حَتَّى قَدِمْنَا عَلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَهُوَ بِمَكَّةِ. She said, and so we remained in that state, and we remained in good until we returned to the Messenger of Allah صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ when he was in Mecca. And that is that they returned because of something that took place. It was something that occurred that caused them to return, to leave where they were and to return back to Mecca. And that, inshallah, we'll discuss in that which is to come. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.